and a one. Please send me a direct message with your email address and I will send it out to you in the coming days. Okay, so welcome to tonight's workshop. Tonight's workshop is all about letting go of toxic shame, recovering from narcissistic and emotional abuse. So the agenda, we're going to talk about what toxic shame is, how toxic shame can affect relationships, how to identify a narcissistic person, what causes narcissism, what creates a narcissist. We're going to talk about shame-based feelings and how we can become shamed out of our feelings as children. We're going to talk about how to release toxic shame, why hypnosis is good to help to release toxic shame, to overcome narcissistic and emotional abuse. At the end of tonight's workshop, we're going to have a short hypnosis session. And I have a 4-week inner child program, which will next be taking place in January. I'll be talking a little bit about the program and how it can help to overcome narcissistic and emotional abuse as we go through tonight's workshop. So, what does toxic shame mean to you? How would you define toxic shame? Let me know your answers in the chat box. As we go through the workshop, I will be asking questions. It stops me feeling lonely. So what does toxic shame mean to you? Let me know how you would define toxic shame in the chat box. Internalizing projections and abuse. Yep, that's a good answer. It's a very good answer. So, to understand toxic shame, we need to understand healthy shame. Shame itself is not bad. Shame is a healthy human emotion. And like all emotions, shame serves a purpose. If we grow up with good enough parents, a good enough parent is going to provide the child with unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. They're going to make them feel secure. Child's going to know that they're going to get their needs met, that they're going to get picked up when they cry, fed when they're hungry, etc. And healthy shame enables us to gradually separate from our parents and venture out on our own in that 15 months to 3 years age range. And that 15 months to 3 years, the terrible twos, that's when children start to, all children become narcissistic. That's why it's called the terrible twos. So that shame helps us to not roam off from our parents. As adults, shame helps us function in society, lets us know when we need help, lets us know when we've breached our values or when we're encroaching on other people's boundaries. So healthy shame, if we have good enough parents who are predictable, make us feel secure, we learn to develop a state of trust. Toxic shame is created when we internalize abuse, abandonment, or criticism. Most commonly, toxic shame is going to develop in childhood, And it's what creates narcissistic behavior. Toxic shame is created when parents or teachers criticize a child as opposed to poor behavior choices that they make. So if a child makes a mess, telling them they're a messy child, as opposed to saying, look at the mess you made. And all abuse is the transfer of shame, as I'll be coming to shortly. So when we identify with shame-based models, abandonment, trauma, and negative memories, this creates toxic shame. Abandonment trauma doesn't mean that your parents left you in a ditch and drove away. Just putting the parents' needs before the child's needs is a form of abandonment. Not being a good enough parent, as we spoke about earlier, trying to push the child to do well at school or any of those things, even if the parent thinks it's in the child's best interests, it's still a form of abandonment because it's putting what the parent wants before what the child needs. To cope with toxic shame, we need to alienate it from ourselves. And anger is the first emotion that most of us become shamed out of as children. Again, it doesn't just have to come from parents. Schools don't like angry children. Anger is a very dangerous emotion to become shamed out of, because without anger, we're going to take on more and more toxic shame until we become an object of contempt to ourselves. Growing up with toxic shame can make us feel ashamed when we need help, feel angry, sad, assertive, sexual, joyous, or even confident. And we're going to be shamed out of our feelings. As I said, we're going to be shamed out of anger. Again, as children, most of us become shamed out of our other feelings. You know, things like big boys don't cry. Things like that teach us to suppress our emotions, to separate them from ourselves. And when we do this, we're going to alienate them from ourselves, and we're going to alienate parts of ourselves, and we may project those parts onto others. Toxic shame can cause us to split and dissociate. Narcissistic parents will often take one child, put one child on a pedestal, make them the golden child, and then another child, they will make the black sheep or the scapegoat. They will project all of their own toxic shame onto that child, call that child names, put that child down, etc. The term scapegoat comes from ancient times, where they would keep a goat in the village and they'd kick the goat, spit on the goat, put all their sins on that goat, and then cut it loose and send it off into the wilderness on its own to fend for itself. So when we become cut off from vital parts of ourselves, these parts can then become subpersonalities that we project onto others. And we are all guilty of projection in some way. Even the most Zenist of Zen monk is going to be projecting to some degree. If we want to become whole, we need to accept these parts. No one is broken. Every part of us has value and needs to be accepted. Every emotion serves a purpose. And what resists not only persists, but becomes stronger. So if we're telling ourselves that, you know, this is a bad emotion, I don't want to be feeling this emotion, we try and fight against that emotion, suppress that emotion, it's going to become stronger. And again, society teaches us that emotions are bad, that if we're feeling depressed, it means there's something wrong with us, anxious means there's something wrong with us, etc. Anxiety, when we experience anxiety, we're moving into the fight or flight response. And the symptoms that we experience would be very useful in a life or death situation. Depressed feelings can let us know that something's wrong, that we need to make changes in our lives. So people in the past have asked me what subpersonalities are, so I added this slide in to explain that. So toxic shame can cause us to develop a sense of not belonging, of never fitting in. When a child takes on toxic shame, happiness is no longer on the inside. So they need to look outside of themselves for happiness. They need to look outside of themselves for validation. And as children, we're looking to our parents to validate us. So if we're not receiving validation from our parents, or if we're receiving invalidation from our parents, if we're being put down, called names, we're going to internalize that. And we're going to think it means there's something wrong with us. We're not going to be able to validate ourselves as adults. When someone takes on toxic shame, good feelings can no longer be generated from within. So we may become codependent. Someone who's codependent is going to be likely to find themselves in abusive relationships, in relationships with narcissists and narcissistic people. We can also develop compulsive behaviors and addictions. So, how does toxic shame affect you? Let me know in the chat box how toxic shame is affecting you. Feelings of low self-worth. Yeah, that's a good answer. Yep. Narcissistic relationships, anxiety, low self-worth, addictions, abusive relationships. Yep. So toxic shame is going to make us either act in or act out. When we experience toxic shame, we're going to need to suppress it. And toxic shame is the source of many complex and disturbing inner states, according to John Bradshaw. Toxic shame can cause depression, alienation, self-doubt, isolating, a deep sense of inferiority, paranoid and schizoid phenomenon, borderline conditions, and disorders of narcissism. So to act in, we may self-harm, we may develop eating disorders, emotional eating. Food is the most common substance that people use to try and suppress their emotions. So emotional eating is the most common way of acting in. Emotional eating forms a vicious cycle. So someone will eat to try and suppress their emotions, to try and make themselves feel better. But because they've eaten loads of junk food, they feel worse. They beat themselves up, which causes more bad feelings, which of course leads to more eating. Eating leads to weight gain, a poor self-image, low self-worth, etc. Acting out can be done in the form of being abusive to others, of becoming narcissistic and abusive ourselves. So do you act in? Let me know in the chat box. Do you act in? How do you act in? I know you said addictions. Do you act acting in any other ways. Can you see the previous slide again? One moment. There we are. Isolate yourself, yeah. Of course, isolation can lead to a reduced social circle, can lead to reduced opportunities to meet people. And when you find yourself, you know, meeting people, you're going to find yourself probably going for the wrong people, and because you have that reduced social network, you don't have people around you to support you in those abusive relationships. So if we don't learn from the past, we're destined to reenact it. It's a phenomenon known as repetition compulsion. When we don't resolve our trauma, we're either going to inflict it on others or find new people to inflict it on us. Parents who abuse their own children were typically abused the same way themselves, and they've never resolved the shame they internalized. These memories of their own abuse are being played out by abusing their own children, but they now relive the scene from their parents' perspective and are playing the abuser's role. The perpetrator of abuse, assault, or violation is shame-based. Such acts are acts of power and revenge, born of impotence and fueled by shame, a transformation of a scene of equal powerlessness. That quote comes from a book called Healing the Shame That Binds You. So all abuse is the transfer of shame. I like to believe everyone is doing the best they can with what they have. As I said previously, when a person experiences toxic shame, they need to suppress it. They're going to suppress it by either acting in or acting out. Shame, as a healthy human emotion, can be transformed into a state of being. Shame takes over one's whole identity, according to John Bradshaw. So toxic shame can make us paranoid. It can make us expect to be betrayed or humiliated. It can cause us to project experiences that we've had in past relationships onto people that we're currently in relationships with. The paranoid has to project their own sense of deficiency elsewhere. In his book, The Road Less Traveled, Scott M. Peck says that the neurotic assumes too much responsibility, the person with a character disorder not enough. When the neurotics are in conflict with the world, they automatically assume they are at fault. And when those with character disorders are in conflict with the world, they automatically assume the world is at fault. All neuroses is an attempt to avoid genuine suffering, according to Carl Jung. So, narcissism. We all have narcissistic traits. As I said previously, when a child is in that terrible two phase, they are little narcissists. And a little narcissism is healthy. When we grow up in a toxic environment, narcissism becomes a coping strategy, and it's an infantile defense to cope with a dysfunctional environment. People think that narcissists are some kind of magical beings, kind of like vampires, and they're certainly energy vampires, but they are codependent themselves. They are the ultimate codependents because they've taken on so much toxic shame. They've had to create a full self, a mask that separates the toxic shame they've internalized from the outside world. And to maintain this mask, they need constant narcissistic supply. That narcissistic supply can come from constant admiration, it can come from bullying, demeaning, intimidating, or belittling others. Narcissists are going to be able to manipulate and exploit people without feeling guilt or shame. They're going to have a grandiose sense of self-importance. The grandiosity is caused by the will being disabled through shaming of the emotions. So the grandiosity is a form of learned helplessness. When we are children and we're in environments that create narcissism, where we're constantly being attacked and put down, we can't do anything about it, can't fight back, can't run away. So we're going to develop a state of learned helplessness, and I will be coming to learned helplessness shortly. So did you grow up with narcissism? Let me know in the chat box. Did you grow up with narcissistic parents? Hello, Mitchell. Thank you for joining. Yeah, the scapegoat. Yeah. Do you find yourself repeatedly in narcissistic relationships? A lot of people find themselves going from narcissistic partner to narcissistic partner. It's almost as though they're in a relationship with the same person. They just look different, have a different name. Do you find yourself constantly doing that? Let me know in the chat box. Yeah. But there is an explanation for this. It's called attractions of deprivation. Attractions of deprivation says we're going to be most attracted to people that will traumatize us. And they're caused by traumatic experiences in childhood. We all experience trauma to some degree in childhood, just losing your mum in the supermarket. It could is a life-threatening situation when you're 3 years old. So we all experience some level of trauma when we are children. Attractions of deprivation says we're going to be most drawn to people that embody the worst emotional characteristics of our primary caregivers. So Sigmund Freud famously said that all men are attracted to women like their mother, and all women are attracted to men like their father. It could be either parent. So if you're a man and your father's a narcissist, you're going to find yourself in relationships with narcissists or narcissistic people. If you're a woman, your mother's narcissistic, you're going to find yourself in relationships with narcissistic people. So even though we may be adults, we're going to have these unresolved childhood hurts due to betrayal, manipulation, abuse, and neglect from our caregivers. We're going to seek to heal these hurts in our adult relationships. Unconsciously, we're going to seek the healing of these wounds in our intimate relationships. We're going to seek out people that will irritate these wounds so we can heal them. So that's attractions of deprivation. Sounds a little bit woo-woo, but it is a real theory that you can Google and you can find in various psychology journals and studies, etc. Other people say that when we're children, we're looking to our parents and caregivers to model for us what a man and woman should look like, what a relationship should look like, and we are learning how to interact with people from that environment. And if we are growing up in an environment where we're constantly being narcissistically abused, we're going to be comfortable interacting with people in that way. And when we become adults, we're going to find ourselves drawn to people that embody those behaviors, because that is how we feel, that is who we feel comfortable interacting with. So does anyone have any questions with regards to anything I've covered so far? Let me know in the chat box. The same can apply from a sibling. Possibly, yeah. I mean, especially if it's an older sibling. It can, yes. Toxic shame can also be created by bullies at school. As I said, it doesn't just come from parents. It can come from school. It can come from society as a whole. So is it important to forgive? Let me know if you think it's important to forgive. Forgiving is a touchy subject. Some people feel you should forgive. Others get very angry when people suggest that they forgive. Let me know if you think forgiveness is something that you should practice. Without forgiveness, there is no healing. Excellent. To forgive yourself, but not the person. Forgiving your mother, but had no contact with your father. Yeah, well, if your father is narcissistic, if, you know, having contact with your father makes you feel bad, then I would say that it's best to maintain no contact with him. As I said, forgiveness is a touchy subject for people. Some people get very angry at the idea of forgiveness. I've even had people leave my Facebook group because I've expressed my views on forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't about kissing and making up. You can forgive someone and never have them in your life again. If you hang on to anger, if you want to get revenge on the person that hurt you, then you're continuing to allow them to abuse you. You're continuing to give them control over you. So forgiveness in the traditional sense, in the biblical sense of forgiving and making up, that's not something I recommend people do, but I also don't recommend people hang on to hate and anger. And anger can be displaced. So if you're angry at someone in your past, you may displace that onto people in your present. That anger could be displaced towards, you know, co-workers, it could be displaced towards partners or even your own children. So reaching a state of, I've forgotten the word, reaching a state of peace is where you want to get to. Not forgiveness in the biblical sense, but hanging on to anger and hatred isn't going to serve you. So I think that is, yeah, that's my take on it. Okay, so starting in January, I have a four-week group coaching program, which consists of four group coaching sessions. All the sessions are recorded, so if you miss a session, you can download the recordings and watch them back. there's a Facebook group where I have put lots of content to help with emotional eating, negative self-talk. Again, if we spend a lot of time in an abusive relationship as an adult, or if we grow up in an abusive environment, an environment where we're being attacked and put down, we're going to internalize that abuse. It's going to create negative self-talk, a negative inner voice that's going to continue to attack us and put us down once we become adults. And it can continue to attack us and put us down long after, you know, the abuser has died or gone away. So there's a course on negative self-talk in my Facebook group. Also the course in emotional eating. As I said, food is the most common substance that people use to try and suppress their emotions. So emotional eating is a very big thing. There's a course on that there. There's weekly exercises and a workbook. We're looking to integrate all ages of the inner child from infant to adolescent. We do this through exercises and hypnosis sessions to enable you to visualize yourself connecting with your inner child, giving yourself that unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. Doing this kind of work can reduce anxiety, increase self-esteem, confidence, control your impulses, reconnect with your emotions, and of course, release toxic shame. Feedback from people that have previously done the program can be found on the screen right now. Can also be found via the second link that I just pasted in the chat box. So have a look at that. As I said, the next program will be in January. I haven't updated my website to reflect that yet, but if you'd like to know more about it, you can book a call with me via the first link. You can also book a call with me via the first link if you'd like to find out more about one-to-one therapy. And if you book a call with me via the first link, I will give you a very special price on the program, a heavily discounted price on the program. So have a look at that and book the call. Okay, learned helplessness. I spoke a little bit about learned helplessness earlier and how it creates that sense of grandiosity in the narcissist. In countries like India and Sri Lanka, they use elephants to pull heavy loads. And then at the end of the day, they secure them for the night with flimsy chains that are secured to flimsy little stakes in the ground. And these big elephants can easily pull the stake out of the ground and rampage off through the forest, but they don't because they've developed a state of learned helplessness. When that elephant was a baby, they secured him that way and he kept pulling and struggling to get loose, but he was too small and he couldn't. So he eventually learned that he couldn't pull that stake out of the ground or snap the chain, and he gave up. So even now, when he's an adult and a big, strong elephant and he could easily do it, he still believes he can't. And learned helplessness works a similar way in humans. It's a state that occurs after a person has experienced a stressful situation repeatedly. And again, narcissistic people are going to try and make you reliant on them. They're going to try and isolate you from your friends and family. They're going to, validate you and then invalidate you. They're going to get you addicted to chasing them for approval, to chasing them for validation. So you're going to develop a state of learned helplessness. And just like that baby elephant, you're going to come to believe that you're unable to control or change the situation. You're going to lose your own sense of identity. You're going to develop that low self-esteem. And so you're not even going to try to change the situation. Even when opportunities for change become available, learned helplessness is going to stop you from taking them or maybe even seeing them. And learned helplessness doesn't necessarily come from rejection or obvious abuse. It can also be caused by mollycoddling, by being told to be careful all the time, etc. So who wants to try some hypnosis? Let me know in the chat box if you want to try some hypnosis. If you have any questions, with regards to anything I've covered tonight, now is your chance to ask me. Fabulous. Okay. So hypnosis. Hypnosis is a focused state of attention. It's not something I do to you, it's something I do with your cooperation. If you've ever driven somewhere, got into your destination, and not remembered the journey, that would be an example of hypnosis. If you've ever been watching TV, zoned out, lost track of time, or if you were watching finished, and you thought, wow, where did all that time go? It's time for bed. Time just flew by. That would be an example of hypnosis. So it's a focused state of attention. And hypnosis is very helpful to help people overcome trauma, because when you experience trauma, the emotional part of your brain actually increases in size and the thinking part of your brain decreases in size. And hypnosis can be a very relaxing state. The more you take time to relax, the easier it becomes to relax. The more you're going to start to shrink that emotional part of your brain, the more you're going to have considered reactions, the less susceptible you're going to be to emotional dysregulation, and the better your overall levels of calmness are going to be, the less anxious you're going to feel. And if you have anger management issues or anything like that, you're going to start to notice an improvement with them as well. So hypnosis is helpful for that reason. Also, your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. So just by imagining yourself the way you want to be, you're actually going to create new neural pathways in your brain, and scientific studies have shown this. The more you imagine yourself that way, the stronger those neural pathways are going to become, the more you're going to be able to become that person. And to prove this to you, we're going to do a couple of little exercises. So what I'd like you to do is to take a deep breath in, breathing all the way down into your stomach. And wherever possible, you want to try and make the conscious effort to breathe into your stomach. It's known as belly breathing or diaphragmatic breathing. if you make the effort to do this, you're going to notice increased levels of calm and relaxation in your life. And one moment, just going to check my message. No problem, Mitchell. Speak to you soon. So the more you try and make the conscious effort to breathe into your stomach, the more you're going to notice your overall levels of relaxation, of calm and comfort improving. And it's said that until about the age of 7, children naturally breathe into their stomach. But for some reason, when we start school, we lose the ability to do this. If you ever watch someone sleeping, you'll notice it's their stomach that rises and falls as they're breathing in and out. So belly breathing is how we breathe when we are relaxed. So taking a deep breath in, I'd like you to hold your hands out in front of you like so, with your arms straight. Turn your left hand with your palm facing up. Keep your right hand with your palm facing down. Take a deep breath in and allow your eyes to close. With your eyes closed, I'd like you to just imagine, only imagine, that in your left hand we've placed some heavy leather-bound books. And those heavy books are weighing down on that left hand. That left hand is sinking lower and lower. To your right hand, we've tied some helium balloons. And those helium balloons are rising up. Rising up towards the sky. Just imagine that now. Don't try to resist or assist in any way. Just imagine those heavy books in that left hand. Your left hand sinking lower and lower. And to your right hand, there's those helium balloons that are rising up. Just imagining that now. Sometimes when we do this exercise, people tell me that they can feel their left hand becoming tired, as though they're really holding those heavy books. And then, leaving those hands where they are, open your eyes and see if you can notice a difference between those hands. If you notice a difference between those hands, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. So this is the power of visualization. As I said, your mind cannot tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. And now we're going to do another exercise. So again, taking a deep breath in, breathing all the way down into your stomach. As you breathe out, allowing your eyes to close. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to just imagine, only imagine, that you're walking into your kitchen. And there on the side in your kitchen is a nice bowl of juicy citrus fruits. Could be oranges or lemons. Some people like grapefruits. Other people like limes. Whatever kind of citrus fruits you like. There's a nice bowl of big, juicy ones in your kitchen right now. And what we're going to do in just a moment, we're going to pick up one of those fruits. We're going to place it safely and securely on a cutting board. And then we're going to safely and securely take a knife and cut into that fruit. So I'd like you to imagine now, just imagine reaching out a hand, picking up one of those fruits. Maybe you can even get a sense of the weight of that fruit in your hand as you place it down on that cutting board. Then you safely and securely take that knife and you cut into that fruit. As you're cutting into that fruit, those juices are squirting out, those citrusy smells are filling the air, and the juices are flowing down onto the cutting board. Just imagine that now. And then cutting into the fruit again. So we're creating a nice bite-sized wedge. Again, the juices are squirting out, the citrusy smells are filling the air. There's a puddle of juice forming under that fruit on the cutting board. Just imagine that now. Now we have that wedge of fruit. We can pick it up, maybe shake off any excess juice, lift it up towards your face. Smell those citrusy smells as you place it in your mouth, biting down. Those juicy flavors, citrusy flavors are exploding in your mouth, tingling your taste buds. And the juices are running out. They're running down your face and dripping off your chin. Just imagine that. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. If that exercise made your mouth water, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. So this is the power of visualization. Your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. So what we're going to do now, we can have a little break until 8 p.m. UK time. In the break, I'd like you to think about what you're going to notice that lets you know that you've let go of that toxic shame. What are you going to notice when you have more confidence, when you feel calmer? Are your relationships going to improve? Are you going to have a better job, feel more confident in public, maybe have a bigger circle of friends? Let me know your answers in the chat box. And then when we come back after the break, we're going to do the hypnosis session, and I'm going to take the things that you tell me in the chat box and build them into the hypnosis session so you can actually visualize yourselves that way. So seeing everyone again in 7 minutes time at 8 p.m. UK time when we are going to do the hypnosis session. And as I said, if you'd like to receive a copy of tonight's recording and a workbook, send me a direct message with your email address. So seeing everyone again at 8 p.m. UK time when we do the hypnosis. Okay, so welcome back, everyone. So did everyone think about what they're going to notice when they let go of toxic shame? What's going to be different for them? Let me know in the chat box so that I can help you visualize that when we do the hypnosis session. Confident, high self-esteem, anxiety-free, not ruminating about the past or future, so living in the present. Excellent. Confident, supported, valued. Fantastic. Okay, so make yourselves comfortable. Maybe shrug your shoulders, release any tension that you may have in your neck. Take a deep breath in again, breathing all the way down into your belly. Letting the breath out with a sigh. And when you're ready, you can allow your eyes to close. With your eyes closed, you can really begin to relax and let go, allowing your unconscious mind to take more and more control. All the most powerful and lasting things you've done in your life, you've done it at an unconscious level. You're able to change from a baby to a child, from a child to an adult. You did all this without thinking about. It's taking some deep breaths in. Maybe you can imagine breathing in relaxation, breathing out any stresses or strains. Each breath taking you deeper and deeper. Any thoughts come into your mind, you can just notice. Allow your attention to return to that breath. Seeing if you can notice more calm or comfort with the in-breath or out-breath, with my words or the spaces between my words. Allow unconscious to take more and more control. That relaxation can begin forming in your forehead. All the tiny muscles in your forehead flattening out, releasing. Letting go. Going down into your eyes and your eyelids. And your eyelids are the easiest muscles in your entire body to relax. I wonder if you can imagine those eyelids so relaxed, so at ease that they just won't work. Even if you were to try and open those eyelids, they just stay closed tight shut. That relaxation flowing down into your cheeks and your jaw, all the way down your neck, into your shoulders, down your arms, into your hands, and As a person starts to enter a state of trance, a state in which positive change can occur, they can notice that tiny muscles in their arms and legs may twitch a little as they release any tension. Relaxation flowing into your chest, down your body, down your spine, all of the tiny vertebrae in your spine comfortably releasing, letting, becoming aware of yourself supported. Relaxation flowing down your legs into your feet. Waves of relaxation flowing all the way down from the top of your head to the very tips of your toes. Drifting deeper and deeper. And in a moment, I'd like you to imagine yourself standing safely and securely at the top of some stairs, nice wide stairs, and there's a handrail. And I'm going to count from 10 down to 1. With each number I count, you can move down those stairs, drifting deeper and deeper into hypnosis, allowing your unconscious mind to take more and more control. So begin counting. Now, 10, 9, a tiny voice in the back of your head telling you to just relax, relax, relax. Just listening to the sound of my voice, any other sound you hear can allow you to relax even more. And your unconscious mind is always listening, always looking to protect you and keep you safe. If you're sleeping deeply and an alarm sounds, you're unconscious. My nose to wake you. And 8, 7, drifting deeper and deeper. 6 and 5. The more you relax, the deeper you can go. The deeper you go, the more you can relax. 4 and 3. That's 2. That's. And at the bottom of these stairs is a doorway. And that doorway is going to lead to a wonderful place. Maybe you can imagine a beach on a warm and sunny day, a beautiful sandy beach, waves washing against the shore. After 1 comes 0, I wonder if you can imagine yourself drifting through the middle of that 0, finding yourself on that beautiful sandy beach. Maybe getting a sense of that warm sand beneath your feet. The sound of traffic off in the distance. There's no one else around. It's only you. There's a gentle breeze. Those waves are rolling in. Rolling out. Wonder if you can imagine walking along that wet sand, leaving footprints as you go. Those waves roll in and they pick up those grains of sand. They swirl them round, place them down, gradually Those footprints, disappearing. And it can feel so good to be in this place, just relaxing. And in this place, you can find a place to settle, to relax even more. Maybe you can imagine sun lounger, a cool drink by your side, beads of condensation running down the outside of that glass. Up in the big blue sky, a fluffy white cloud drifting from one side to the other, drifting off over the horizon. Maybe you can get a sense of lightness. Imagining what it could be like to drift up out of that version of you. Looking back, noticing how relaxed you look, how calm, at peace you look. Drifting up and being safely and securely supported in one of those warm and fleecy clouds. Drifting towards that version of you that's relaxing there, you can see another cloud. This cloud's different to the other cloud. To this cloud, you can feel a connection in some way. Maybe you can imagine lines or threads connecting you to this cloud. Drawing this cloud towards you like a magnet. Till this cloud just stops directly overhead. This cloud can start to draw up anything you want to let go of. Any negative feelings, negative energy is being drawn up by this cloud, releasing things from the past. Consciously, you don't need to do anything. You just need to relax, let go. Imagining that. Drawing up that stuff. Your unconscious mind can give you a sign, something to let you know that you're releasing those things into that. Could be a twitch of a finger or thumb, it could be increased comfort. More and more stuff being drawn up into that. And that cloud's going to start to become darker. It's going to grow larger. Rumbles of thunder, flashes of lightning are going to start occurring from within that cloud. As it draws up more and more. Just releasing, letting go of that old stuff. Once that cloud's drawn up all of that stuff, it's going to start to move away. Those lines and threads are going to begin to stretch and break. Now, the cloud's going to start drifting off out to sea, taking that old stuff with it. Going to start to become smaller and smaller as it drifts away. Those rumbles of thunder are going to become quieter and quieter as it drifts off, drifting over the horizon, out over the oceans, far away. That cloud can release that stuff into those oceans. The tides and currents can come and go, change, wash that stuff away, never to be seen again. And after a storm, the sun can come out. That fresh smell that you can get after heavy rain. You can start to visualize a future version of you, a version of you with more confidence. Calm, living more in the present with more relaxation. Feeling valued, feeling worthy, feeling good enough in every way. I wonder what you'll start to notice, how your behaviors can start to change, how you can start to change. Maybe noticing yourself standing more confidently, just a little taller. And again, all of those vertebrae in your spine can comfortably adjust and allow you to stand just a little taller, holding your head high. Maybe being comfortable meeting new people. Really connecting with that future version of you. Seeing through their eyes and feeling what you feel. In the coming days, you can start to notice things that let you know that these changes are taking effect. When you notice those things, you can remember this time and get a sense of yourself smiling over there, then. And that can allow you to notice more things. The more confident you start to feel, the better you can start to become, and the better you become, the more confident you can feel. Happier. More at home in this World farm. In a moment, I'm going to count from one to five. And when I reach the number five, you can come all the way back to the here and now, noticing how good you feel. One, allowing the feeling to return to your feet. Maybe you'd like to wiggle those toes. Two, as that energy flows up your body. Three, down your arms, into your hands. Maybe you'd like to wiggle your fingers. Four, and on the next number, you can open your eyes, feeling fantastic in every way. Five, eyes open, wide awake, and maybe you'd like to stretch. Sigh. And if you like that, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you. Fantastic work. Okay, so in the chat box now, I have again pasted some links. The first link to book a free call with me. As I said, if you'd like to book a free call with me to find out more about the Inner Child program, which will next be happening in January, you can do so via that first link in the chat box. Second link to find out more about the Inner Child program, you can't sign up for the Inner Child program via that date because I haven't updated it on my website yet. It will be occurring in January, but you can read about it there and you can see the feedback from people that have previously done the program. the third link to find upcoming workshops. The fourth link is to my Facebook group, which is a free group. You can join there. You can find content there to help with anxiety. I try to add things there regularly. On my YouTube channel, you can find hypnosis recordings. You can find content that I try to add regularly. So please subscribe to my YouTube channel. And the final link is to my Facebook page. Please give that a like and a follow. does anyone have any questions with regards to anything that we've covered tonight? Let me know in the chat box. And as I said, there will be a recording of tonight's workshop and a workbook. If you'd like to receive them, please send me a direct message with your email address, and I will send them out to you in the coming days. Hypnosis is my favorite technique to use. Yes. Inner child work and doing the inner child work that we do on the inner child program is really very effective for overcoming narcissistic and emotional abuse, obviously, especially if you've grown up with narcissistic parents in a narcissistic environment. But we all become shamed out of our emotions as children. We all develop toxic shame as children. as I said during the workshop. So the inner child work is very powerful for that. And yeah, there's lots of feedback from clients on my website, particularly with trauma and PTSD. Hypnosis is very effective for overcoming those issues. So yes, hypnosis is the therapy that I use. Does that answer your question? Yes, the workshop is nearly over now. It starts at 7 p.m. UK time, which is 2 p.m. in New York and Eastern Standard Time. I think you've recently had a time change because your times change this different time to us in Europe. So sorry for any confusion with regards to that. If you'd like to watch the recording back, as I said, the event was recorded. So if you'd like to watch the recording, just send me a direct message with your email address and I will send it out to you probably tomorrow. Excellent, thank you. Any other questions, anything else you'd like to ask before we go, let me know in the chat box. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. I hope that you've enjoyed tonight's workshop and found it useful. If you would... Yep, I can send you the recording. Just send me your email address. I will need your email address to send the recording. That's no problem. So if you found tonight's workshop useful, please leave positive feedback on the Meetup page or the Meetup group. That really helps us. Check out the links. As I said, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Give my Facebook page a like and a follow. If you want to discuss one-to-one therapy or the inner child program, book a call with me via my website, which is anxietyhypnotherapist.org. So thank you very much for joining tonight. I hope to see you all again. Thank you very much and good night.